President Trump defends the administration's response to the coronavirus outbreak.
Whatever happens, we're totally prepared. We have the best people in the world.
And efforts to contain the virus in Iran by closing pilgrimage sites.
Iranian officials believe that the outbreak started in Qom, the holy Shiite city. But there's also suspicions that it might have started somewhere else because Qom doesn't have an airport.
Plus, why tough job interviews could be good business. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we look at how Iran's efforts to contain the coronavirus outbreak are complicated by where it started, here's what you missed. At a press conference late yesterday, President Trump sought to reassure Americans about the government's response to the virus.
We have, through some very good early decisions, decisions that were actually ridiculed at the beginning, we closed up our borders to flights coming in from certain areas, areas that were hit by the coronavirus and hit pretty hard. And we did it very early. A lot of people thought we shouldn't have done it that early, and we did, and it turned out to be a very good thing. And the number one priority from our standpoint is the health and safety of the American people.
President Trump also said he was placing Vice President Mike Pence in charge of the coronavirus containment effort. Health policy reporter Stephanie Armour says the president wanted to tamp down on some of the concern and panic the administration felt was going on, especially on Wall Street.
It is also interesting to note that he was, you know, contradicting what the CDC officials have said. And the CDC did identify that the new 15th case that was identified in California appears to be the first example of possible community transmission because the person had no contact with someone from China, nor had they come here from somewhere else. So it's a difficult balance, I think, right now for the administration and for the president, who, you know, really wants to get across the message that this is something that they are have contained and are focused on. At the same time, this is dynamically changing.
A shooting at a Molson Coors plant in Milwaukee has left 5 people dead. Police say the employees were killed by a 51-year-old man who apparently died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Milwaukee's Mayor Tom Barrett called it an unspeakable tragedy for the city.
We are grieving. The families are grieving. The union brothers and sisters are grieving. Our city is grieving. And our state is grieving.
Molson Coors chief executive Gavin Hattersley said the gunman was an active employee of the company. He said Molson Coors would close its Milwaukee office for the week and that the brewery would remain closed for the time being. Now, our main story. We're going to continue to look at the coronavirus outbreak, but head now to Iran. Like Italy and South Korea, Iran has been struggling to contain an outbreak that's thought to have originated in the city of Qom. It's one of the main religious pilgrimage sites in the country. Our reporter, Suna Engel Rasmussen, has more from London. So, Suna, what do we know about the outbreak in Iran so far?
We know that in Iran, they confirmed the first fatality last week, about a week ago. And since then, the number has risen to 22 deaths and 140 infected, according to Iranian authorities. Iranian officials believe that the outbreak started in Qom, the central city, a pilgrimage city or a holy Shiite city. But there's also suspicions that it might have started somewhere else, or at least it spread to somewhere else, because Qom doesn't have an airport. And very soon after the first case was confirmed in Qom, the virus spread to at least 8 other provinces around the country.
And what's been the response from Iranian officials and from other countries in the region?
So the Iranian government has encouraged people not to leave Qom. They haven't imposed a quarantine on the city, and they've also told people to not go to the shrines. They've told local authorities in Qom to close the shrines and the mosques. That hasn't been as easy as it sounds. Local clerics in Qom have pushed back against that, and it took several days for them actually to close down the shrines. And even when they did that, and even as they canceled a big religious festival that was scheduled for early next week, worshippers in the city still tried to get into the shrines. They moved barriers around the shrine and basically told the clerics to continue conducting prayer. Now, that's obviously not all everyone in Rome, but there is a significant sort of minority of worshippers that either don't take the warnings from the government seriously or believe that going to the mosque is maybe something that can help cure this disease in this troubled time. Elsewhere in the region, you've seen countries take their precautions against, especially people returning from pilgrimage. Saudi Arabia just cancelled their pilgrimage season, which annually draws about 7 million visitors to the kingdom. So that's a very big deal that Saudi Arabia has done that. And other countries have banned travel to and from Iran that goes for Iraq, where they've also closed down a very important Shiite shrine in Najaf. Pakistan has put up measures at the border to screen people coming back from Iran. Bahrain, Kuwait, it's the same. Kuwait has evacuated 700 citizens from Iran. So I think a lot of the countries in the region are sort of watching very closely which of their citizens are coming back from pilgrimage and then trying to quarantine them when they come back.
And how does the outbreak in Iran compare to the ones that we've seen in Italy and South Korea?
It's actually similar in one respect, at least, to the South Korean outbreak, because in South Korea, I believe it's around 4/5 of all the 1,200 people there that have been infected are members of this mega church. And they have religious rituals where they sit close together, they eat together, they shake hands. And that's not so different from these Shiite rituals in Rome, where people visit shrines, they kiss the shrine, and they pray together in mass congregations that are often very crowded in small spaces. So in that sense, it's a little similar. And I think people are worried that because people sit in such close proximity and maybe they haven't taken the necessary sort of hygienic measures to counter the virus from the beginning, that it will spread very quickly, and maybe it has already spread a lot more than what we know of.
You can find all of our coronavirus outbreak coverage, including our live virus tracker and tips for smart travel planning, up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Global shares continued to fall. Japan's Nikkei closed down over 2%, and European markets were broadly lower in early trading. Another sector that's been impacted by the slowdown caused by the coronavirus outbreak is oil. Prices hit a 12-month low yesterday. Commodities reporter David Hadari has more.
So there are quite a lot of jitters right now in the international oil market. We've got what traders are describing as a demand shock. That's investors trading on fear about what the coronavirus is going to do to global oil demand, global oil demand growth. And there's some pretty obvious sectors where that is really showing through. The jet fuel sector is an obvious example. Loads of flights cancelled internally in China and externally from and to China. And now with the virus spreading to Europe, in the case of Italy or the Middle East, in the case of Iran, that's becoming broader as well.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. On Wall Street, we'll of course continue to watch for investor reaction to the outbreak. We'll also get earnings from the likes of Best Buy, Keurig, Dr. Pepper, and Beyond Meat. Shares in Beyond Meat still remain well above their May IPO price, but they've more than halved since the summer. During its last earnings report, the company reported a profit, but its revenue guidance for 2020 disappointed investors. Finally, here's a surprising way to attract top talent in a hot jobs market. Make your job interviews harder. A study by Glassdoor found younger workers in particular were more likely to accept a job offer after a difficult interview. Difficult here means subjecting would-be employees to things like skills tests instead of, say, a personality test. The thought is that we like being assessed on the skills we bring to the table, perhaps because it tells us how we'll then be evaluated once we're in the job. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.